Near FM.
The Human Rights Commission of Ireland has recently called on the Irish government to address the legislative gaps on hate crime, and there is currently, it has been taking quite some time, but there's currently negotiations ongoing with the Minister of Justice and other groups to try to get tougher sentences for hate crimes and to bring in a bill for hate crime, new legislation there. Now, in light of the terrible stories of vicious attacks on people for no other reason other than the colour of their skin, we had the young girl that was beaten recently, and it's just horrendous. She may lose the sight of her eye, and a beautiful young girl. We've also had in the news just there the other day a man, Emmanuel Enoch, who is sitting in a police station because he is in fear of being in his home. He was attacked in his home, and this has happened on many occasions. And to discuss this and her own experiences with this, but also her podcast that she is putting up on Nearcast that you can find there. It's called Mind the Gap, and it's really addressing racism and hate crime. I'm delighted to be joined by our lovely, lovely Mary Oideran. Hello, how are you, Mary?
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Hello, are you there?
I'm there.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Not at all. It's fantastic to have you here. It's unfortunate that we need to be discussing this topic. I just think it is just awful. I cannot understand what's in people's minds when they can't see. I mean, that's why I played that song, basically, to say we all bleed the same. We're all exactly the same. And, you know, I have to laugh at us as white skinned going, trying to tan ourselves and burn ourselves to a crisp to get a, and then to have any qualms about somebody who is from another culture, who has a different colour skin. What? I don't understand their mentality, really. But you've had some pretty bad experiences yourself here in this country. Do you want to maybe talk about that?
I think, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to actually experience this platform. This is what I love about Near FM, that we get the chance to say things you may to say otherwise. And I came to this country with my husband and my family. We had three children here. And I was an asylum seeker. I'm coming from England. And we came for a missionary purpose. And now, England and Ireland are so close together, and I met a lot of Irish while I was in England. So what we receive here, we just cannot believe it, that people would actually take offence of our colour. And the most recent was having a young group, two or three group of girls, and I was coming home. I normally take that road anyway, and they were barking like a monkey. Now, I walk pretty slowly, and I turned around and I said, God, didn't see any monkey anywhere. But of course, it was me. I was the only one on the road. It was just me and them. And they were really, really young. And this was still during the period of lockdown. I said, hold on, they didn't go to school. They were at home. So where would they have the boldness to just begin to bark like a monkey and giggle at you and make you just... It dehumanizes you.
Yes, yes.
Now, that's with young people. I'm not talking about a situation when we've had... like I tell you a really quick one, I was involved in an accident, and I lost consciousness because I hit the back of my head. It hit me in there, and it was a beautiful night. It was cultural night because I was doing some work there, and the police came. This is what I saw, but they did not brutalize the person. They did have no record of that. Now my solicitor was absolutely astounded, but he said this. Sometimes you have this. The ambulance men who took me to the hospital, they had it. And the hospital had record of what had happened to me. But with the Garda having nothing, thinking that, who is this person? This is of no serious consequences. And I found that was very painful, because I couldn't go any further with that, because there's no police record.
But that's you know, it's like it's systemic. I mean, as you said, with the children, it's coming from their parents, or, you know, it has to be coming from somewhere. But then for the guards to be of that mind that not to, that would be the normal, wouldn't it? But would, that would be the norm. If there's an accident, they get the person and they keep them at the scene. They don't go off with them, you know. They keep them at the scene, and they would definitely breathalyze them and see what the situation was, what caused the accident. But to have no, and to have no record that anything happened, that's just, I just can't believe that.
Yeah, well, it's the thing is that as you, this is the reason why the podcast is so important, because people begin to tell their stories, and there are many stories I heard after saying that to people. Yes, things have happened to me. The police will come, and the guarder will come. I say police officers because I'm coming from England. The guarder will come, and they will make no case. They won't say anything. Do you know what I'm saying? And they'll make light of it. I've had several occasions with them. Now, if that's the guarder, and they're not taking seriously your case, who else do you expect to take care of you?
Yes. And then now we're calling for better legislation. Do you think then, if this legislation comes to pass, that there is, you know, that there's repercussions to people who carry out hate crime, will the Garda then even take it seriously? Does there need to be training involved in?
I think one of the things they have suggested is that they will be training them, because obviously when a racist issue has occurred, you don't understand the impact it has. Number one, if you feel, well, it's just a normal thing, you don't realise that. Like, for example, I come on a bus coming to Near FM here, and I know what I experience on a day to day basis. People do it. It's called harassment, verbal harassment. Yeah. There's the physical side, which obviously this man experienced that he's in the Garda station that you spoke about earlier. But it's almost like people do not understand that you cannot just attack somebody and get away with it. But obviously, there's no law for you to go on, and the Garda don't see it as anything important. So you are left to kind of, okay, another thing has happened. You know, it's not like someone, like people approach you as if you, like one of the podcasts, there's a young lady who actually left Ireland, because she said all the time people will approach her as if she was a prostitute and call names. Now, I've been to different parts of Europe. I'll be honest with you, it's only in Ireland that I've had people calling names.
Wow.
You know, derogatory, vulgar name. That's what she was talking about. And I say, yes, I've experienced that, where people just think they have the right to not only lurch at you, but also to abuse you verbally. Mm-hmm. And of course, these are very tormenting, but you can't, if there's no law to say that these things are wrong, people get away with it. Mm-hmm. I remember people coming to my garden and their dogs. To bring someone into somebody else's garden, you have to open the gate. You have to let the dog in. And there was one, right, I used to take pictures of them, right outside my door, not at the beginning of the gate, right in front of my door on the carpet by the door. And now, what do you call that? That is trespass, isn't it?
Yes.
And when you call the guard, they kind of tell you, well, get a CCTV camera. I said, well, that's not the point, is it? The point is somebody's trespassed my house, where I live, where it's my belonging. Is where even if you're renting from it, although I'm not, it belongs to me. You have no right to just enter my gate.
It should be your safe haven.
Do you know? They smashed the car of my window and I came back. What did I do to you? I didn't do anything to you, but you feel you can do whatever you want because I'm not like you. I am. I'm proud of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I love my colour. Do you know? And people should understand other people do. But what happens when you begin to stigmatize people? You make them feel that they're rejected, they're not wanted, and whatever they have to say is of no quality to you. You disregard them as a human being. Now, one thing I just say quickly, which is in the Irish Constitution, and it says, this is the Article 4, it says, all citizens shall, as human persons, be held equal before the law. So it is here in the Irish Constitution that we are equal before the law. Mm. Yet we are on the field, we're on the buses. The podcast has been interesting because I've had lots of different people. People who had been in the provision centre and they have lost their marriages as a result of the way they were treated. They were the things that happened to them during that period, no place to go and really report, although there's been a major fight for people with direct provision centre, but to hear people's individual stories and to see that you had this experience year after year. Your children couldn't say where they live because of this, and they had problem in school, so there's education there whereby people were having to lie, that pretend they belong somewhere when they really have nowhere. But people came for to be an asylum seeker.
Yes, they came for refuge, and unfortunately, the system in place here is really bad. And hopefully now they are saying that they're going to dismantle all of that and change it, because I have spoken to, as I said, about the Respect Words programme, that's programmes that we did. I've spoken to asylum seekers, and they couldn't even, they couldn't even give their name for fear that it would have repercussions when they go back to the centre. They were treated, less than human. The treatment is, and there's people coming over here with degrees that we could use in our society, that could be working, that contributing to the tax, to the revenue, but they are stuck in limbo. And for many, many years, it's not just a short time. There's people that are there quite a long time, in a waiting room, basically, not being able to live, just existing. And it's horrific. But to go back to this hate crime and racism issue, it is basically you're being bullied on a daily basis, that you can't just go about your business as normal. And we were talking with the Aisling Murphy murder, and I spoke to Nolene Blackwell about women being threatened and feeling, when young kids are out on their bikes and they're taunting you. So that would be just a once-off thing that maybe I might encounter, or a woman might encounter. It's not a daily basis. It's not coming to my door and at my home. And as this man who's in the Garda station in Talla, who had to leave his home with his four children because they actually broke in. They came in the door with hammers and knives to attack them for nothing more than the colour of their skin. I really can't understand it at all. Where do they get this idea that that's okay, that that's all right to do that? And then for no legislation to be in place that they will get a sentence, that something will happen to them, no repercussions, then it just becomes so much more difficult. Now, in your podcast Mind the Gap, you speak to a lot of different agencies and people who have these experiences. So do you want to tell us a bit about the podcast and what you have come across in that?
What is interesting about the podcast is that people, even though they were are expert in their field, they have, because they're black, because it was black people speaking to black people about black issues. So we had that platform where we could be quite free to say what we really felt. And the current one that's about to be placed probably is two migrant women. They came over to Ireland, and one came to study. The other one came younger, and obviously she's now a solicitor. But throughout, from her secondary school, primary school, the other young woman, I don't want to say her name because obviously, from the time that she actually came in, she recounts one incident that really, it hurt me, because it's like, I don't believe that actually happened to you, but I know it did. You see, that's the thing, it did happen. Mm-hmm. That she was supposed to be sharing the equipment during a lab, and the other white student just said to her that she's not going to have anything to do with her. No. Now, this isn't an institution. Wow. This is an education institution.
Yeah. And a young, what you would say, a young educated.
We would say that they were, but and that's throughout the thing. And she says how she felt, because what happens is that when people attack you, whether verbally or they repress your ability to be yourself, which is in this case, it's like, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Okay, what is it with me? The only thing that's different between me and you, we both got qualified to be on this platform, to be doing this science course, is that I'm black and you're white. She'd from the time, and it really just, it brought her down very low. Although she overcame it at that period of time, but it's like, is this little microaggression that you get in institutions?
Yeah.
And then even in the workplace, you get it, whereby there are things that will just happen. You don't know anything about it, but you know it's affecting you. And a lot of men, black men, suffer a lot from this. And on the podcast, we hear, I was privileged to interview the president of the Mixed Irish group association, and that was just horrendous what they suffered, because I would have thought their case was better than ours because they're not as dark, but because they have maybe an African mother or father, they were not accepted in the Irish community, and they had a lot of aggression placed upon them, a lot of rejection. And that's the thing really, is that because as a human being we crave for rejection. We crave to be accepted wherever we are, whether it's in our neighborhood, whether it's in our classroom, whether it's in sports. There was a young man who talked about sports, and he said, although it was a team sport, when anything went wrong, they would quickly abuse him. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have these things that people are constantly dealing with. Am I good enough? Am I good enough?
I mean, we only have to look at the soccer teams in the UK and England, and, you know, they have an awful lot of their players are black or mixed race. And yet, you know, you think they're scoring the goals, they're fantastic, and still from the sidelines, they're doing the monkey calls and the this, and they're getting abuse. I just can't understand that. You know, one minute it's all, you know, oh, you're fantastic scoring the goals for us and winning, but yet there's still this underlying hate. Where does it come from?
I think you said it. There's an underlying thing which says that you are not the same as us. We are better than you. And the only reason why you are better, to your understanding, is because of your skin. Yeah. And this has been written, it's an institutional racism. It's systemic racism, other people call it. I think it's institutional because it's something that's been done from the time of slave trade. I'm not here to come and talk about slave trade or anything, but I'm saying that this thing has been in place to make people feel that they are better. And because of that, you take that to a new level. And when there's no law, you see, in England, I'm coming from England, and you couldn't do that. A guard could not come to an incident and not, he would either be sacked and I will have my compensation.
Yes.
You understand? And the person who did this, because you've left him, this is what we don't understand. When you don't, when those who victimize others are not, I don't want to say rewarded, are not punished for their crime, they go to repeat it again. And they'll keep on doing it because you've said to them, it's okay for you to be bad to this person. Is okay, we don't worry about you because there's no law, they can't take you up on it, so you go and do it, and you didn't want that, and that's why we have the continuous of it. Now, what I suggest, going through this podcast one after the other, sometimes even just editing it, I weep in my heart, because people are crying for help, they're crying to be accepted, they're crying and saying, what do we need to do in Ireland to be accepted? Well, some people, they said, look, we're going to go, we're not going to have to fight this because it seems as a losing battle. And you said, we do have people like NR and other people that have been working on it, but they've been working on it too long. So what is stopping it? You know something is wrong. I would have thought you put it right. But I would suggest when things happen in a neighborhood, there's what they call passive racism. Whereas people who are, they know it's wrong, but they do nothing about it. And I think that is the problem we really, really have, is that people know it's wrong. Maybe it's your sister doing it, maybe it's your brother doing it, but you know that it's wrong, or you're not comfortable with it, but you don't tackle it. So it goes on and on. And the government themselves, I mean, are they thinking, what is going to be the cost? Of course, if you commit a crime, you should pay for it. If you maim somebody, you hurt somebody, you trespass against somebody, that calls for a punishment.
Yeah.
So that you deters other people from doing it. But when you feel it's free for all, after all, we are Irish And not all Irish are like that. I've met extremely brilliant Irish people who have helped me along my way, including this establishment, Near FM, and your good self. Do you know, I've met many, many wonderful people. And unfortunately, we can't depend on that. Yeah. We need to have a law in place whereby if you do something wrong,
you should be
answerable, mm-hmm. and you should take the full repercussions so it will not happen again. You will not do it again, but other people will see that and they will not do it. But if it's that, well, anybody could go to Mary's house and do whatever they want to do.
I mean, it's strange because there's research that was done through the University of Limerick, and they had seen that people had been asked about particular crimes and if there was a neighbour or somebody next door to you, and there was 13.5% had said that they would be unhappy if somebody beside them had vandalised or done something like that, a crime, you know, beside them. But it was 7.7% would be happy to have somebody who'd committed hate crime. So people seem to be abhorred by it, but yet, as we say, they're not speaking out about it. They're not, and that's why we're here today, to try to speak out and call upon people to say something. And, you know, even, didn't you say to me when we were speaking the other day about someone whose brother had said... what was that story?
Yes,
the brother,
I mean, that was really, I can't even say it's funny, but it's just the way passive racism works. And he was saying, oh gosh, my brother's really racist, he is, the way he goes on and carries on, da 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 da. And I was like, well, if your brother is this way, yet you know he is that way, and he's obviously going to be causing some danger to some people, yet you kind of saying it as if it doesn't really matter what it is, or maybe it is that's what I just felt. I said that you're saying that to me, I happen to be black, you're telling me your brother's racist and you seem to be okay with it.
Yeah
but I don't think it's that he's okay with this, he just probably doesn't know what to do. After all, he's my brother, it's my blood brother, it's that blood stick to the other. But what it is, that in a life when you're in a community, right must be right.
Yes.
And it's not about whether you're my brother or my sister or my husband or whatever. If my husband commits a crime and he understood it's a crime, and we all understood it's a crime, then he needs to have that punishment.
Exactly. And they need to be called out, and you need to say, look, that's wrong. You can't be saying that, or you can't be doing that. People need to be called out on it. And we have run out of time.
Oh my,
my goodness.
What?
That went so fast. There's so much more to talk about, and I'm sure I'll have you on again, because I'm hoping to have this as a series of programmes. I've contacted the Minister for Justice to try and get somebody on to tell us where the bill is and what's happening with that, because I know they went and they were doing more scrutinising of it there back in November. So they're still, it's behind closed doors, and they're trying to get this together. But hopefully sometime soon we will have legislation in place that will put a stop to this. And just to say to everybody out there, if you have a brother or sister or neighbour or friend that is in any way racist, do call them out on it. Do say it to them. Isn't that right, Mary?
Thank you very much. Say it to them, and know that the law's coming soon. They better get rid of that attitude, or they will be. They will have to pay what they need to pay.
They will. Exactly. Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you so much.
Take care, my love. God bless.
Thank you.
90.3
867 1190
Near FM.